Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Ancient Secret of the Fountain of Youth by Peter Kelder is a classic metaphysical and wellness title that popularized a set of simple movement practices often called the Five Tibetan Rites. Framed as a travel and adventure narrative, the book presents these routines as an age-old method said to support vitality, flexibility, and a more youthful sense of energy. Its enduring appeal comes from how approachable the practices seem, brief sequences, minimal equipment, and an emphasis on daily consistency rather than athletic performance. Kelder also weaves in ideas about the body as an energetic system, proposing that health and aging are influenced by the condition of subtle centers of power and the flow between them. Readers often come to this book as a gateway to mind-body traditions, gentle fitness, and habit building. Whether approached as spiritual lore, a motivational story, or a practical routine, it continues to spark curiosity about longevity and the role of disciplined daily practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the framing story and the promise of a practical longevity method. A major topic in the book is the way Kelder uses a narrative frame to introduce the method. Rather than presenting a modern fitness manual, he leans on a tale of discovery, mentorship, and hidden knowledge that positions the practices as both rare and tested. This storytelling approach does two things at once. First, it creates motivation by making the routine feel meaningful, not just mechanical exercise. Second, it sets expectations that the path is simple but demands commitment, since the benefits are described as emerging from repetition and discipline. The narrative also reinforces themes that resonate with self-improvement readers: curiosity, perseverance, and the idea that aging is not only a calendar process but also a lifestyle outcome. For many readers, the real value of this framing is how it lowers the barrier to starting. You are not asked to buy specialized equipment or master complex sequences. Instead, you are invited into a daily ritual that fits into ordinary life. Even if a reader treats the story as symbolic rather than factual, it still functions as a strong behavioral hook, a reason to show up each day and track gradual changes in energy, mood, posture, and mobility. Secondly, the Five Tibetan Rites as a structured daily movement routine. At the center of the book are the Five Tibetan Rites, presented as a concise series of movements intended to be practiced regularly. The key concept is structure, a small number of repeatable actions performed in a consistent order with attention to progression. The routine is often described as taking only minutes, which makes it attractive to people who struggle with long workouts or inconsistent schedules. A recurring theme is gradual buildup, encouraging readers to start with fewer repetitions and increase over time. This approach aligns with sustainable training principles, reducing the chance that enthusiasm turns into strain. The movements themselves are typically interpreted today as blending elements of stretching, spinal mobility, balance, and light strength with a rhythm that can feel meditative. Because the rites are simple, the practice naturally becomes a mirror for self-observation. Readers can notice day-to-day differences in stiffness, breathing, dizziness, fatigue, and focus. The book encourages persistence, which is often where meaningful results come from in any wellness routine. As a standalone habit, the rites can serve as a baseline practice that complements walking, strength training, yoga, or other flexibility programs, especially for readers seeking consistency over intensity. Thirdly, energy centers, breath, and the book's metaphysical model of the body. Another important topic is the underlying theory that links the exercises to vitality. The book describes the body in terms of energy flow and centers of activity, proposing that imbalance or sluggish movement in these centers relates to aging and diminished vitality. This model resembles ideas found in various Eastern and esoteric traditions, and it helps explain why the book treats movement as more than muscles and joints. Breath and attention are framed as essential, not optional, because they are portrayed as influencing the energetic effects of the practice. For readers familiar with yoga or meditation, this can feel like a bridge between physical routine and inner work. Movement as a tool to settle the mind, regulate stress, and support steadier daily energy. For skeptical readers, the metaphysical language can still be interpreted pragmatically. Focusing on breath can improve pacing, reduce tension, and promote relaxation. Consistent gentle movement can support circulation, mobility, posture, and mood. In that sense, the theory functions as a motivating framework that encourages mindfulness and regularity. The book's lasting influence comes partly from this dual readability. It can be approached as a spiritual energetic practice, or as a simple daily mobility sequence with a strong ritual component that reinforces adherence. Fourthly, consistency, progression, and building a long-term personal practice. The book emphasizes that results depend less on intensity and more on steady, incremental practice. This is an important topic because it shifts the reader away from quick fixes and toward habit formation. The rights are positioned as something you do daily or near daily, and the guidance tends to support an approach of starting small, listening to the body, and building up repetitions gradually. This progression mindset makes the routine feel accessible to beginners while still offering a sense of development for experienced practitioners. It also invites a broader lifestyle reflection. Sleep, stress, and overall movement during the day can influence how the practice feels and what benefits are noticed. Readers often use the program as a personal experiment, tracking changes in flexibility, morning stiffness, balance, or general vitality over weeks rather than days. The structure encourages accountability because it is easy to measure whether you did the sequence and how many repetitions you completed. The practice also lends itself to customization. People can adjust pace, modify movements for joint limitations, or pair the routine with walking and light strength work. In this way, the book functions not only as a set of exercises, but as a template for self-directed wellness, small daily actions, modest progression, and attention to how the body responds. Lastly, cultural legacy, modern interpretations, and practical cautions. A final topic is the book's cultural impact and how readers today interpret it. Ancient Secret of the Fountain of Youth helped popularize the five Tibetan rites in Western wellness circles, leading to many later guides, classes, and online demonstrations. With that popularity comes a need for discernment. Readers benefit from understanding that the book blends inspirational narrative with health claims that may not align with modern evidence standards. The most practical way to approach it is as a motivational manual for a gentle daily routine, while keeping expectations realistic and individualized. Modern interpretations often emphasize safe technique, especially for people with neck, back, balance, or blood pressure concerns. Because some movements can involve spinning, back bending, or rapid transitions, many practitioners choose to modify, slow down, or consult a qualified professional if symptoms appear. This does not diminish the value of the routine, it simply places it in a responsible context. The book also raises the broader idea that wellness systems travel across cultures and change in translation. Readers can appreciate the symbolic and spiritual elements while still using contemporary tools such as mobility principles, progressive overload in a mild form, and recovery awareness. The enduring legacy is that it offers a simple doorway into daily embodied practice. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy mind-body wellness, simple daily routines, and classic metaphysical self-improvement, especially those looking for a short practice they can do at home with little or no equipment. It can also appeal to people who have tried complicated fitness plans and want something more sustainable, as well as readers interested in Eastern-inspired frameworks without needing a full yoga or meditation curriculum. The main life benefit comes from the habit itself, a brief, repeatable sequence that encourages consistency, mobility, and better body awareness. When practiced thoughtfully, it can support a sense of vitality by improving flexibility, posture, and daily energy management through breath and mindful pacing. Compared with similar books on longevity or mobility, it is worth buying because it combines a clear, memorable structure with a motivating narrative that makes adherence easier. Many modern fitness guides are more scientifically detailed but harder to maintain. This one is simpler to start and easier to repeat, which is often what drives real change. Readers who approach it with reasonable expectations and appropriate modifications can gain a lasting daily ritual that complements other healthy habits. If you would like to support Peter Kelder, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.